5. If We Are Lucky. October 12, 2012. "He's here," Mohammed said quietly to Marathi. It was hard to believe they were actually doing it. They were actually boarding this small bus with three other families from their village and beginning a long journey, the end of which he could not clearly see. She stared at him for a moment, and he wasn't sure what else to say. This was it. There was no changing their minds if they got on that bus. They would leave, and in all likelihood, they would never come back. They would never walk through the front door of their home again. They would never again come down that street at the end of a long workday. He would never again reach up and pluck grapes from the small vines that grew along the walls, or go inside the courtyard and walk quietly among the olive trees. They would never again see their neighbors, their extended families. Maybe they would never see their parents again. His boys would not grow up playing soccer in the same fields where he had played as a kid. Everything would be new. Everything would be a first. "Okay," his wife said. "Okay." In truth, it had been Marathi who had pushed him to make this decision in the last few weeks. She knew it was the only option for them, if their boys were to have any kind of a future. The six of them bumped through the front door of their home and piled into the waiting vehicle, the boys already sinking under the weight of the packs. Mohammed and his three oldest boys carried the food and water. He wore two backpacks, one on the front and one on the back, like a turtle shell. Marathi carried their toddler, trying to keep him quiet. On the bus, Mohammed gave the man the money required to drive them to the end of the road, as far south as the road would take them. He thought about the long walk to come, the walk they would have to make as a family later that night. He looked at his boys. He didn't watch as his house disappeared behind them. He looked forward. To what? He had no particular destination in mind. First, Jordan. That was the only step he knew to take, but he did not have a goal of making it to Europe or Scandinavia or Canada or even the United States. He knew only one thing in that moment. They could no longer stay where they were. Life as he had known it growing up was no more. The war had no end in sight. They had to leave. He leaned back and ran his fingers through his gray hair, looking around the minibus at the other families. He looked for his boys and counted 1, 2, 3, 4. It would not be the last quick head count. His older three were quiet, pensive, staring out the windows. His youngest was like a small cat that refused to be held, crawling over all of them. "Easy, easy," he said quietly, pulling the boy close. They had a long journey ahead, longer than even he knew at the time. "If we are lucky," Mohammed thought, "tomorrow we will be in Jordan. Tomorrow we will begin a new life." He paused, not wanting to consider the next thought, but it came anyway. "And if we are unlucky, we will be dead."